Hallelujah. In the name of Christ, we commence our ninth class of the Into the Front Line. Before we go to the first two questions, let's continue to study. How do we know that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit? Right. What was the first one we studied last night? How do we know we're filled with the Holy Spirit? What was the first one? What's that? That's to be filled with the Word of God, right? To be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? What was the first sign if we are filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, we are full of faith, right? So full of faith only comes when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit down, and put inside our hearts. That's the only time we can be full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, full of faith. Because in the gospel, yes, some people have weak faith or little faith, no faith, and great faith. But only when in the book of Acts, it says we can be full of faith because of the Holy Spirit. Right? When we are full of faith, then we can perform many miracles and signs. Right? So that's why if you go out and preach the gospel, if we be able to win one soul for our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great accomplishment. How many of you thus far bring a person to Christ and they are baptized and they're still in church nowadays? Raise your hand. Wow. Do you guys understand my question? See how difficult it is, right? It's very difficult. I'm not surprised you guys didn't raise your hands. Why? Because Satan is very powerful in a sense that compared to us. So that's why we go out there to preach the gospel. And if you don't use the power of God, the Word and the Spirit of God, there's no way you can be able to pierce people's soul. Especially nowadays, right? Everybody loves sin, and they love to commit sin. So because of this, when you want to shine the light upon them, there's no way they want to come into the light, right? We just say that, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ is the light, right? But those who practice evil, right, they do not want to come to the light because the evil deeds will be shown. You didn't say that. What's that? Yes, John 3:20, right? John 3:20. And this is very true, right? You can see, so almost all of you, right, have not brought anyone to come to church and baptize and still in church. This is a difficult task. So that's why for us, we need to be ready. We need to gird up our loins to be ready to fight in the front battle. But nowadays, it's just like what we worry about just to keep ourselves alive. That's pretty much it, right? Even that is so tough already, right? Even to keep ourselves alive, never mind going out to fight in a battle. Never mind going to the front line. But the armies of heaven cannot be like this. That's why we are training that one day God will put us in the front line and we'll be able to fight a good battle for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 6. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the first sign is full of faith. So in other words, even nothing's going on in our church. Even though the next 30 years no one is baptized in our church, but we still come to know that the church is only the true church of God. Why? Because we have that kind of faith and to realize this is the only one saved church. If you go anywhere else beside this church, you will die. It's plain as that. Right? Maybe so many of you, you're born in church. Because of this, you don't value our church too much. Right? But I went to many different churches before. So I have seen many other churches. Our church, the only church that preached perfect doctrine. Yes, maybe our brother and sister are weak in faith. And maybe outwardly it seems that we're not true. But that doesn't matter. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, the one is sitting on the throne. If we open our spiritual eyesight, we can see all the angels around us. If we open our spiritual eyesight, we see that this is the heavenly kingdom. But we must see all these things. So don't let your surrounding environment affect the way we think. But go into the Bible and let the Word of God be able to allow us to think what we should think, that is being sober-minded. So for me, really, it's like this. Just like I shared with you last night, no, because when I talk to other denominations, they say, there's no way, right, that the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit is by speaking in tongues. And they say, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you already received the Holy Spirit. But for me, no. Why? Because I experienced it already myself. When I came to TJC, when I prayed at home, when God gave me the Holy Spirit, my tongue, I spoke in tongues. So no one else can tell me any other way at all. Because I'm completely convinced. The same thing with the Bible. When God said, Booty, right, read the Bible, when I read the Bible, the words of God became alive. And I know the Word of God is the Word of God, and it's true. So no one else can ever tell me anything else. So that's why for you and I, we must be able to be convicted and convinced that the Bible is the Word of God. And our church is the only church that can save mankind on the end days. But if people ask, is our church the only church that can save people? How would you answer? Young brother, how would you answer? You say, yeah. How about you, sister? What do you say? Is that church the only church that can save people on the end days? You don't know, okay? What about you, sister? What? How would you say? Yes? Actually, we say no, right? Our church is not only church can save a person, right? Any church can have salvation if they have the seven oneness in the book of Ephesians. Right? So this is how we approach it, right? So you have true baptism according to the Bible, right? If you have the promised Holy Spirit, if you have foot washing, right? Holy Communion, Sabbath, one true God. If any churches have those kind of teachings, they also can save people. But what is the conclusion on the end? There's only one church, that is us. So we don't need to stay the same, because the minute we say, our church is the only church that can save people, then everybody's all up in arms, right? Oh, why you say this? Why you say that? But no, any church can save. Right? But on the end, any church that practices such things, their name is True Jesus Church. Right? Really, it's like this. But any church can save if they practice the Word of God. So here, in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, this faith, it goes with, it's a basic fundamental thing that we should know as Christian soldiers. Really, just like I mentioned to you, if you guys do not believe in a basic doctrine, please step down from teaching IE, right? You cannot do it. Because why? Because this is what we believe. If you're in this church, you must believe what we believe. If not, then you go to another church. Right? As simple as that. So that's why when some brothers or sisters tell me to preach any other way, I'm a TJC minister. How can you ask me to preach any other way? The minute that I do not preach and believe a basic doctrine, then I won't be here no more. For what? And for you all, the same thing too. One day you do not believe in a basic doctrine, don't stay in church. And don't stay in church trying to convince others to believe what you believe. Because this True Jesus Church. And we have our doctrines. If you believe any other doctrine, then go find a church that is closer to what you believe, then you join there. That's the only way, right? But don't try to stay, because this True Jesus Church. We have our 10 basic beliefs, and that's why we True Jesus Church. We believe in these 10 basic doctrines. Whenever you believe something else, just go. Right? For example, if you believe in purgatory, right? Anybody know what purgatory is? Right? Purgatory, right? You guys know purgatory, right? Purgatory is the place between Hades and paradise, right? So right now, if someone dies, you're not sure they're going to go to paradise, you pray for them, you offer money to the priest pray for them, and then this purgatory is like an elevator, take you up to paradise, right? If you're in Hades, right? If you believe that kind of concept, you cannot stay in TJC. You go to the Catholic Church or the Orthodox churches, right? That's what they believe. But don't try to convince brothers and sisters here that you must believe in purgatory. And now even the Catholic Church, right, they try to make Mary, the co-redemptor with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's horrible, right? They try to say that Mary had the same power to redeem people just like our Lord Jesus Christ. This is horrible. But people believe in this kind of thing, right? So when we talk about full of faith, it's not about faith resurrecting the dead. It's not about faith moving the mountain. This faith to believe what you've been taught from the beginning. Really, I tell you the truth. If one day I did not believe the doctrine of TJC anymore, I would not be a minister anymore. And I won't even come to church anymore. No, since I was young, I was adopted, right? So my mother, she's Greek. So she always tell me, Rudy, when you grow older, I want you to be a Greek priest, right? Really, because a Greek priest, you know, their position is very, you know, it's very good, right? First, you make over 100,000 a year. Then when I was young, they make over 100,000 a year. And they buy them a house, right? Buy them a car, whatever, cell phone, whatever, right? And then the church is not like this. When they take care of a church, the church is awesome. Right? Nice church, right? And they work, what, one day out of the week? On a Sunday. And holidays extra. But even in holidays, when you work extra on holidays, guess what? You get extra pay. For example, during Easter time, my mother used to take us to go to the cemetery, right? To pray for the dead. So when we go there, we see a priest that's walking around the cemetery. So you call him, please come to pray for, you know, so-and-so. Then you come to pray for that 2 minutes, 1 minute, then $20 on the side. Yeah. And wedding, they make $1,000 in the wedding. If you ask, right, a priest to preside over your wedding, you must pay. Don't think it's free, right? Don't think it's free. So if I don't feel the TJC, the only safe church, the true church, God, you think, what am I doing here? Because what am I doing here? Waste my time, waste your time, waste everybody's time, right? Right? And meanwhile, my family suffer, I suffer, everybody suffer, right? For what? So that's why, right? Just think about this concept. If all the ministers in TJC, right, we are stupid, right? If you think we're stupid, right, in a sense, why do we do this for, right? No, we do because we know it's only safe church. It's only true church. So from now on, for you guys, right, really, if you can, study other denomination doctrines and try to compare to our doctrines. For example, the Baptist church, right? What they focus on, the Baptist church, sister? Baptism, right? Baptist church, they focus on baptism. But do they believe that baptism can save a person? No. It's weird, right? You call your church the Baptist church, right? But meanwhile, baptism has nothing to do with your church, with your salvation. You believe, you're already saved. But if you want to be baptized, up to you. Right? That's it. It's very strange. Right? Really, study, but at the same time, you must be careful, right? Don't be poisoned by those doctrines, right? And then you will die. Right? So that's why you guys are still very young, and sometimes we don't encourage you, right, to study other denomination doctrines, because they also use the Bible. They also use verses, right? That's what we want to get into later on, right? So we really know how sharp your brain is, right? To see how sharp you are when it comes to warfare, right? Of course, this warfare is in words, right? Satan's words, or our words, or God's words, right? Whatever it is, we must be keen about it, right? Let's turn to Acts chapter 6, verse 15. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel, right? So during the time in the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 15, right? So when the elders and scribes, right, came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council, and during the time they accused him for saying things that is, you know, against God, blasphemous words against God, right? But they look at Stephen. Stephen, right, all who sat, it's not one, not two, all who sat at the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. This is very strange, right? Even though they saw this great miracle, that Stephen, even though they accused him for saying to him he's doing the wrong thing, but his face, face of an angel. But on the end, they still dragged him out to stone him to death. people's heart are evil like this. So don't think on the end days, right? You speak with power, right? You move people's heart, and then people will not stone you to death. No, they will stone you to death. That's God's will. Why? Because people are so stubborn. From the beginning until now, people always kill God's prophets. So don't be surprised on the end days, right? If you get killed, but make sure not spiritually get killed, right? But killed for good cause, that is for Lord Jesus Christ. So when Stephen, his face, the face of an angel, what does this mean? If he's filled with the Holy Spirit and his face is the face of an angel, what does this mean? Brother, what does this mean? Is your face the face of an angel? No. What do you guys think? Paulina? What do you think, sister? What does it mean when your face is the face of an angel, right? I'm sorry? Okay, you see the glory of God? Okay. When someone is yelling and screaming at you, right? And saying, right, you're doing all these evil things, and your face is like a face of an angel. What does that mean? Huh? I'm telling you, when someone screams and yells at you, right? And you get mad, your face should not be like an angel. Right? There's one time during NYTS, right? During the time that evil spirits were everywhere. So one time, one of the brothers got so upset, right? Because someone was saying something to him. And he turned around, his face was demonic. Yeah, his face was, he turned into a demon's face, right? But Stephen, his face is like the face of an angel. So this means if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, no matter who accused of doing wrong, you always can be full of peace inside your heart. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can never see, right? One day you're in council meetings and you're talking, you're all yelling and screaming, right, with one another. Say, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. No. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, he's always at peace, no matter what. Just like Stephen. So one day when you're in, you know, when you're talking to brothers, sisters, and when someone accuses you for doing things that is wrong, and you get so angry, you get so upset, it means you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. As simple as that. It's funny, like for me, like all the ministers I work with, you know, especially the elders, the senior minister, I never see them get upset about anything and everything. Even during the minister seminar, even though we argue, but they all argue with such peace, right?
Really?
No, because sometimes we go through verses, we argue about this, argue about that, but everybody's at peace. You look at their faces, they're so at peace, but they argue at the same time, right? This is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Really?
Because God gave us all different ways, so we see different things from different directions. It doesn't mean, right, we have to take it very personal. No. Right? Someday when I'm doing something wrong, you must tell me, right? So I can repent and make sure I check myself. This is love, right? If you see a brother with booger in his nose, like walking around all day, you don't say anything. Is that love? That's not love, right? I know one time we had a cookout, right? And I eat some vegetable, I had some green thing in my teeth, right? And nobody tells me about it. And then a brother took a picture, right? And then he put his picture on the wall of the Pacifica Church with my green thing on my teeth, right? And I think it's funny, right? Oh, it is funny, but, yeah. But, you know, someone must tell me that I have green thing in my teeth, right? Because I'd be talking, and, you know, first music, I smile a lot, you know? Of course, you see the green thing, everybody's laughing. But I'm, you know, it's embarrassing, right? Right? So that's why when it comes to truth, don't be afraid. If your brother and sister think about something, right? Maybe you're the one that is wrong, right? You tell them, hey, you're not thinking correctly. And then you tell them, like, hey, you're not the one that's correctly, right? So it's good to have the kind of fellowship, right? So just like Stephen is full, right, of peace. And one more thing, too, right? When we're at peace, don't think, when we're at peace, only the time is nothing's going on. That's not true peace, right? Remember Peter, when they arrested Jesus, right? He was at the fire, woman himself. And then people say something. When we ask him, hey, are you with him? And he get all upset, right? It's with curse. He's not at peace. But after he received the Holy Spirit, right? when they put him in prison. And James already been executed by Herod already, right? So this means Peter is next. He was put in jail. Then what? It seems like he's in a 5-star hotel or something, right? Took off his garment, right? And lay down and fell asleep. This is peace, right? Even though he knows that maybe he's next to die, but he didn't care because he has God, right? So that's why even the angel, right, showing a bright light upon him, he's still not awake. He's at peace. Then you have to shake him. Hey, get up already, right? Then the Bible says he put on his sandals, right? This means he took everything off and just relaxed and chill in the jail, right? Even though he's going to die, right? The same thing in the book of Revelation, right? Let's go to the book of Revelation. Chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. You can tell me what's the difference between these two verses. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 6. Chapter 4 verse 6. Revelation chapter 4 verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. You can see, why, what does it mean when this throne, right? Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. What does this mean? Huh? You ever see a sea that's like a sea of glass? Yes, peaceful, right? Peaceful. So why this throne, this sea of glass is in front of the throne? Why? Because of prayer, right? You can see earlier, and from the throne we see lightning, thundering, right? Verse 5, voices, right? So that's why in front of the throne. It's like a sea of glass. Even though there's a sea, but a sea is like a sea of glass, right? Let's go to chapter 15, verse 2, Revelation. 15, verse 2. 15, verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast, over the image, over his mark, over the number of his name, stand in the sea of glass having the harp of God. So what's the difference here between this and chapter 4? What's the difference? You see anything? Brother, what do you see? What's the difference between in chapter 4 and chapter 15? Yes. First, the sea of glass mixed with fire. So this means there's no longer peace, right? They stand in the middle of trial and tribulation. But how did they praise God, brother? How did they praise God? Yes, they have the hearts of God, right? So when they under trial and tribulation, their worship toward God is even better than before. That's the way you and I should be also. This is true peace, right? True peace. Okay. Let's go back to Acts. Acts. Chapter 54. I mean chapter 7, verse 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54 to 56. 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth, right? Remember Peter, his first sermon, right? The Bible says the word also what? Yes. Cut people's heart, and then people repent, right, and baptize. And this time, Stephen's word also cut the people's heart. What did they do? They took him out and sold him to death. Right? So that's why the word of God is like double-edged sword, right? Just like the baptism. Baptism, people who believe, praise and thank God, they get baptized and be saved. And do not believe, then it will be condemned. As simple as that, right? And then verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And verse 56, and said, look, I see the heaven open, and the Son of Man stand at the right hand of God. Right? So here first, they saw his face like a face of an angel. And then he preached his great preaching to them. Then he told them. They were cut to the heart. And he told them, look, I saw the heaven open. And the Son of Man is in the right hand of God. During that time, they should have repented already. But no, they pulled him out and stoned him to death. But here, what does it mean? We know that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? When he's filled with the Holy Spirit, Then even before he was going to be stoned to death, he saw the heaven open, right? Have any one of us go outside, we prayed in the heaven open before? No? No? So what does this mean when he prayed in the heaven open? What does this mean? What does this mean? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So this means even though before he died, he has hope. When we are filled with God's Spirit, there's always hope. Why? Because during this time, yes, physically he's going to die, but spiritually he's going to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why you and I, right, this world is only temporary. There's nothing in this world that we can bring with us. So that's why before Stephen died, God showed him the promise that he is the Son of God. He is the high priest. And through him, he's going to go directly to eternal life. So when we're filled with God's Spirit, we're always full of hope. Right? In church, think about this. Maybe right now, we all of us seem weak. Maybe all dry bones. But there's always hope. Why? Because we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. Just like Ezekiel, right? The bone that he saw in the valley was not only dry. He said it was very dry. But nevertheless, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, they became the great army of God. So right now, you and I, we're in the same situation, right? Actually, our bone is not even that dry. If it's so dry like that, we wouldn't be here already, right? Maybe it's a little dry. Not very dry, right? But we still have hope, right? With God's Word and God's Spirit. And then, the last one. Verse 57 to verse 60. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him in one accord. Verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Verse 59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Right? Amazing, right? So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? Right? With his last breath, he prayed and asked God to forgive the people for their sins. What does this mean if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine somebody stoning you to death? And with your last breath, I'm telling you, we're squeezing at them, right? Right? You can pick up the stone and throw back at them, right? But no. With his last breath, he knows it's going to be his last breath. He asked God to forgive them for their sin. The one that stoned him to death. What does this mean when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? What does this mean? Brother. Okay, full of mercy. Right? Full of mercy. But this full of mercy, what does this mean? When someone's full of mercy, they must be full of what? Love, yes. Really, when we feel with the Spirit of God, we always be full of love. Right? Full of love. And this is very important. Now, of course, you can also go to Galatians chapter 5, right? What it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. So check ourselves. Are we filled with the Word of God? If we're filled with the Word of God can sanctify us, separate us from the things of this world. If we're filled with the Word of God, when we speak the Word of God, it's just like a double-edged sword, piercing people's hearts. If we're filled with the Word of God can set us free from the things of this world. If we feel the Word of God, on the end days, we will not be afraid. Why? Because God will come to judge the whole world with His Word. And we have His Word inside of us. There's no way we can be condemned. Because when we fill with the Word of God, we fill with God Himself. So that's why if you want to go to the front line, we cannot afford but to be filled with His Word. That if we fill with the Spirit of God. The sign of being filled with the Spirit of God, we must be full of faith. Because if we have no faith, we cannot please God. When we're full of faith, we'll be able to perform many miracles and signs. Why? Because the Spirit will give us power, right, to perform such signs. If we are filled with the Spirit of God, we always be full of peace, no matter what's going on around us.
trial and tribulation is a piece of cake.
Why?
Because God's Spirit is in us. If we are full of the Holy Spirit, we always be full of hope. No matter what's going on in church, no matter what's going on in our lives, we always full of hope. And last of all, if you are filled with God's Spirit, we always filled with God's love. And these are the kind of things that we need to have if we want to fight in the front line. Any thought, any question? Any thought, any question? Okay. Let's go to the first question, right? The first question. So the robber on the cross, right? The robber on the cross. Because actually we emphasize so much in baptism. But the robber on the cross, he was not baptized. But still he was saved. Right? Let's see some answers, right? I'm going to do this random selection. Right? I don't know who's who and what's what, right? Okay, I'm just going to pick one. Okay. This is Sister Justine. Yeah. Why was the robber who was crucified alongside Christ saved even without baptism, right? The robber was saved because Jesus had not died yet. So his blood could not redeem him. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus first needs to die for us on the cross in order for us to be baptized through his blood to wash away our sins, right? So here, if we say this, what is missing? If we say this, what is missing, right? Say yes, the robber, he did not, say here, right? The robber was saved because Jesus had not died yet. The robber was saved because Jesus did not die yet. Right? So his blood could not redeem him. And then why was he saved? Right? Then why was he saved? Right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, right? The forgiveness of sin. Jesus needs to die for us on the cross in order for us to be baptized through his blood to wash away our sin. So in other words, we say that actually he's not saved, right? Because if Jesus did not die yet, he cannot be saved. But the Bible says he was saved, right? Actually, I think, I don't know what this person have in mind, but actually her answer is very, very correct. Right? Even though I don't know what the thinking is, right? Why do I say this? Well, I'll explain to you later. Okay, next one. Okay. I don't have to read the name. It looks like brother's writing. Why the robber who crucified alongside... Okay, even better, okay. I'm sorry, I cannot read this. It's really worse than my handwriting. Okay, this one is typed, so I shouldn't have a problem, right? Okay. In the New Testament, people are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism. But in the Old Testament, people were justified through faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Before the Lord Jesus Christ had completed the salvation plan by dying on the cross and became the firstborn from the dead, it is still considered as the Old Testament period. When Jesus Christ spoke to the robber, the salvation plan was not yet completed. Hence, the robber was justified through faith according to the Old Testament because he believed that Jesus was Christ and a just man. That if he wanted, he was able to save him, he also recognized his own sin. So this answer is also pretty good, right? But there's still one thing missing, right? Why is that one thing missing? First, the people who in the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament. Yes, they die in faith. Even though they die in faith, what they say? So how many of you, I don't know why am I scaring you guys? Maybe sometimes I talk too loud or something, right? My niece say, maybe I scare you guys, but you guys don't answer me or something, right? Let me be more, less loud, right? Less loud, something like that. Right? How many of you
think, right, that those who die in faith in the Old Testament, how many of you think that those in the Old Testament die in faith they are saved? Please raise your hand. You don't have to look at one another, right? You just believe what you believe, right? How many of you say those who die in faith in the Old Testament, they went to eternal life, they're in promised land already, right? Raise your hand. Raise your hands up. Okay, maybe. Okay, so what's the other answer? How many say no? They did not enter, right, the promised land. Please raise your hand. Why? Why, brother, why? Good question. Okay, they die in faith. When they say die in faith, they are righteous, right? Because why? Because in the Old Testament, right, faith, right, when you have faith, this means your account is righteous, right? Right? Justified by faith through the law. Okay. But Abraham's times, there's no law. Isaac and Jacob, Abel, Enoch, there's no law, right? Law only came in the time of the Moses, right? Okay. Hey, they all have good work. Abel, right? Offer a better sacrifice, that's work, right? Enoch walked with God, it's also work, right? To walk, right? And Noah built an ark, right? That's also work, right? Yes. By love. Okay. By love. What love got to do with it, sometimes. Yeah? They were close to God, they loved God. So many Christians nowadays, right, they can answer exactly what you guys answered. They love God, they are close to God, right? They have love, this and that. So they can they be saved? Yes. We know the answer very clearly, right? No. No. So don't think, right? Yes, people love God. When you love someone, don't think that I love you and that's it. When you love someone, you must have proof the love to that person. For example, if we love God, right, how do we prove our love to God? Huh? Yes, all His will. That's very important, right? Keep on that, yeah? So, is that what I mean? Hey, Abraham, in the tale of Lazarus, right? Abraham, Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, we all can say all those, right, they go to heaven. That's fine. But it's not a precise answer, right? Because the Bible tells us some other way, right? Why do we say this? Look at chapter 11, verse 13. These all die in faith, not having received the promises. All who are all these? Huh? Abel? Enoch, Noah, Abraham, right? These are all of them. They all die in faith, but did not receive the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Then verse 39 to 40. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So what does this mean, sister? What does this mean? Did they receive the promise? What are they waiting for? Okay, it would happen, and then what happened? They all die already. Right? Yes, sister, you have some thoughts? Yes, exactly. You understand? So those who died in faith in Old Testament, they're also waiting for Jesus Christ to die. You understand? So the people who die in faith in Old Testament, when they die, it's a check, right? Eternal life. But it was not signed yet. You understand? It was not signed yet. So when was it signed? Brother. When was it signed? When Jesus died. You understand? So it doesn't matter who you are, from the beginning of mankind to the end of mankind, you need to have baptism to be saved. Right? See, this is very important. Because some people say they have faith. Yeah, have faith. You're fine. You have faith, right? But if you have faith, you will do exactly what God wants you to do. That is, be born again of water and spirit to be saved. So if they're old saints, they cannot go to eternal life because Jesus did not die yet. Can any one of us nowadays go to eternal life without the blood of Jesus Christ? There's no way. So that's why when Jesus was crucified and Jesus died, then who resurrected? Who rose during that time? Remember? People see them in the city and stuff, right? The saints. This means to show that His blood is not only for us, also for them. So when they die in faith, yes, they have this check, but this check was not signed yet. Only when our Lord Jesus Christ died. And this blood, of course, this blood is not only during that time Jesus died, but it transcends beyond time and space. So that means from beginning until now, His blood is still working in us. Anybody have any questions about that? Yes. It just stay right here, ready, brother. Oh, the blood, of course. You can tell us the revelation, different animals. Did you get the answer to that yet? Oh, you have this one now too. You can tell us tomorrow, okay? Okay. We just say that the blood, right? If the blood only worked during the time of Jesus, brother, why are you getting baptized now? For what? You understand? Yeah. But you can find out, right? Okay? We're running out of time already. Okay? So keep that thought, and sorry you cannot go through so many. Time goes by fast when you're having fun, right? Let's kneel down and pray together to conclude our morning classes. Let's kneel down and pray together.